Hi, everybody. So Wendell plans way in advance, and last December, I think, asked some of us, would you like to teach? We want to talk about sanctification. Here are a list of topics, and I looked at them and thought, I don't think I could teach on any of those. And there was a blank space, and it said other. And I said, you know, I'm getting older now, and I'd like to talk to the younger folks and say, to encourage the younger folks and say, you will grow. You know, if you are one of Christ, you will grow. So that's what I'm doing today, and then Wendell will wrap up this series next Sunday then. So here's how Wendell introduced me.
And then John Shutt will share on sanctification from more of a personal perspective, testifying to God's patience over a lifetime. John is now 99.9% sanctified, and he's here to share the secrets of his success.
Wanda was so wrong. It's 100%. I have tamed my tongue perfectly. I've been working on my daughter's house, and I have a drill bed about this big, and I've been rewiring for most of the last year. And she has oak paneling, and I put that drill bit in, and it's flexible, so I can stick it in. All I have to do is drill this far to the basement. And I'm drilling, and I'm drilling, and I'm drilling, and finally it goes through. And I look to go down to the basement and look up, and there's no drill bit sticking out. And I think, and then I thought, uh-oh. And I ran outside, and there's my drill bit sticking out the outside of the wall about this far. And not being satisfied with that, I did it two more times from the basement up. And you know what I was tempted to say, but what I said was, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because now I'll have light in here and I'll be able to see and be able to drill this hole as I want to with this extra visible light. And pride. I used to be really proud, and I'm over that now. I never say anything I shouldn't say. I'm just humble. I'm the most humble person I know. I don't know. And my love toward God is like growing. Like
John.
Yeah, is that you, God?
No, it's Wendell.
Knock it off. Knock it off. Oh, it's going to repeat. Yes, is that you, God?
No, it's Wendell.
Knock it off. There you go. So, okay, there we go. It worked. How do we stop it? Hopefully it stopped.
I'm starting to lose my sanctification.
I believe you, brother. Well, again, I want to encourage younger Christians as I get older and think about my life that they will grow in Christ. And sanctification, we start off saved, but we're under sin, and we become made more like Christ. And people have had different definitions, and there's another definition of what it means then. Who will be sanctified? Will unbelievers be unsanctified? Well, Joel Osteen has written a book entitled Your Best Life Now, and many people think that it is his best life now. If you're here and you're an unbeliever, it's the best life is here now, literally. You go from bad to when you die, it's going to be worse. And then eventually Christ returns and it's really bad for eternity then. So not everybody is going to be sanctified. What about believers? Well, it's for us, it's good knowing Christ now and we become like him. And then we die, and it's better. And then Christ returns, depending on your eschatology. But in the final end game, we get to be with him forever. So its best. But I thought about that, and as I mentioned, Wendell, I came up with this topic in January, and then about 3 months ago, I was thinking, and I'm thinking now, listen, if I'm Reformed theologically, and I'm going to have two slides that are just talking about the difference, so if you think that I'm a heretic by being Reformed, just put your fingers in your ears and say, John's a heretic to yourself, John's a heretic, and ignore what I'm going to say. But so what do we do about those who fall away from the faith? Because there are some people who do that. Well, in Reformed theology, if God chooses us, God doesn't unchoose us. So the true believer will not fall away. In Arminian theology, we elect and choose God, and therefore it's possible that we can unchoose God. And I talked to Wendell a couple months ago, maybe, and you said maybe 80% of people who claim to be Christians stay Christians, and maybe 20% fall away. So I can't tell you for certain that anybody here is going to remain in the faith. I sure hope it is. I say that for myself as well. You know, I could be one of those who fall away. So we all agree that there are maybe people who fall away. We differ in interpretation. Some of us say, well, they never were real Christians, and others say, well, no, they were real Christians but fell away. But now what? What do we do? What can I say to you about all this? Well, I could be found to have fallen away, but enough of this lighthearted banter here. I think that I am a Christian mainly because of God's convicting power of sin in my life. Then I'm older, I lie in bed, I think about my life, and I realize the things that I did when I was a kid that I am just, if you knew what I was like and what I'm like now, I am a sinner, man, and my only hope is in Jesus. And I bet that the rest of you, if you are a believer now, think the same thing. So let's just go on and say, yeah, some will appear to fall away, some will fall away, but let's talk for certain about those of us who will continue in the faith. Will we grow? Yes, we will grow. So, okay, so in what areas of my life will I be sanctified? And the answer is God has incommunicable attributes, and he has communicable attributes. The incommunicable attributes, we will never be like him. We will never be omniscient. We will never be omnipotent. We will never be, you know, self-aseity. We will never be self-existent. But we will be made like Christ in his communicable attributes. God is love. We will become more like Christ. We will grow in love. We will grow in patience. We will grow in taming the tongue. We will become more like us. How are we sanctified? Well, it's 100% responsibility, our responsibility, and that's been the series, the emphasis in this series, right? So read the scripture, and that will sanctify you. Prayer, and that will sanctify you. Be around other believers and talk with them, and that will sanctify you. The teaching of the church will sanctify you. All these things that have been so wonderfully expounded so far in this series, do these things and you will become more like Christ. And yet, sanctification is not only 100% our responsibility, but it's 100% God will do this through his Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are true believers, God will work in us. God will make us holy. He will sanctify us. Conviction of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, 1 Timothy 1:15. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. And how many of you remember a couple weeks ago, Ted doing the talk and saying, he was wrong, I'm the chief of sinners. Yeah, me too. I went up after him and said, man, thank you so much for saying that, because that is exactly how I feel. You know, as I said, I get older, I lie in bed, and I didn't become a Christian until I was 22. You know, I was in college, I was a senior. I'd heard about God, but I'd abandoned God because I'd prayed for my uncle who lived next door. When I was in third grade, he was paralyzed. And I prayed for him nightly for 3 years, and then he died. He got an infection. He was in a state mental hospital, and then he died. And I said, either there's no God, I was in sixth grade by this time, either there's no God or he doesn't care for me. It doesn't really matter if you're there or not, you know, or you don't care. I don't care. So I lived my life without Christ for a lot of years until, like I said, until I was 22 again. So I lay there in bed and think of the things that I've done. And if I told you the things that I've done, you wouldn't want to associate with me. I just promise you that. So it's 100% our responsibility. It's 100% God working through the Spirit. And this verse brings them both together. You, therefore, my beloved, you, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Work out your salvation. You, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So yeah, those of us who are true believers, we will work that way. And Christ will work in us, the Holy Spirit will work in us, bringing us to be more like Christ in our lifetime. Will I reach complete sanctification in this life? Well, here you go. Wendell sent this to me. Pretty good. Knoxville, I used to listen to a lot of Christian radio when I first believed. Went to graduate school when I was, golly, just a couple-year believer, working on a house, bought my second house. Listened to a lot of Christian talk radio all day long. And there was a call-in show. I remember this distinctly. This is 40 years at least ago. And a lady called in and told the host of the call-in that she hadn't sinned in X number of years. I can't remember what it was, 8, 10, 15 years, you know? So some people, they think that they can achieve complete sanctification in this life, but no, we're not gonna be like Christ. That lady was deceived. She was just wrong. You're not gonna be made perfect. Maybe her pride shows that she wasn't perfect then. Danny, this is great. So what stops us from growing? He said this to me maybe it was last week, I don't remember. The biggest roadblock to sanctification is the idea that we've already arrived at our sanctification, that we're happy where we're at. You know, well, that'll stop you from growing, won't it, then? However, those of us who are believers will become more like Jesus. Melinda Penner was the enforcer at Stand to Reason. She recently passed away just a couple weeks ago. And they had this quote from her, waiting biblically means deliberately humbling ourselves before God and being patient for his timing. It also means choosing sanctification, because it's often in waiting for God's answer for deliverance that we actually grow in character, grow to be more like Jesus. God is committed to making us the people he wants us to be, and we can choose to be patient in his progress of transformation. Waiting for the Lord means not giving up and trusting his good purposes in his time. Here's a quote by Lewis in Mere Christianity. Here's another way of putting the two sides of the truth. On the one hand, we must never imagine that our own unaided efforts can be relied on to carry us even through the next 24 hours as decent people. If he does not support us, not one of us is safe from some gross sin. On the other hand, no possible degree of holiness or heroism which has ever been recorded of the greatest saints is beyond what he is determined to produce in every one of us in the end. The job will not be completed in this life, but he means to get us as far as possible before death. Great quote, then. So here's a graph. I'm, you know, math, science guy. So here we are at spiritual birth and then at physical death, and here's our level of sanctification starting out at the bottom then. And with a tribute to the Beach Boys, oh, wouldn't it be nice, you know, we become a believer and then that's it, you know? Sanctification, well, days, months, there we are. Wouldn't it be nice if my tongue were controlled fully, you know, and instantaneously. But mostly, heck, I'd settle for something like that, you know? Give me a lifetime of progressively becoming more sanctified. Heck, I'd be happy with that one. But mostly, it's going to look something like this. I know this was true of me, and the exact line, I could draw this 100 different ways. Spiritually born, and boy, at 22, I was devouring God's Word. I was reading it like crazy. I was copying down verses. I was writing them on index cards. I want to remember that. I was memorizing them. I can remember doing painting one summer and having the chapter on love from Corinthians there and memorizing it as I'm slinging a paintbrush. You know, I was just growing like crazy. And then something will happen in our life and we get thrown back. Chuck Swindoll used to talk about 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. For me, I can tell you exactly what it was. I'd been a Christian maybe 5 years. I was in graduate school. I remember I wasn't a Christian, but I purposely threw off God when my uncle wasn't healed. So we're in a church in Knoxville. Again, I was in graduate school, and a lady in the church had insects in her garage, and she went out there and sprayed a can of Raid in her closed garage, and she got leukemia then. And she had a 12, 13-year-old daughter, and I remember praying vigorously for her healing, you know. God, she has a daughter who needs you now. She's, you know, 13 years old. Please heal her. And she passed away. She wasn't healed. And that's one of those things, and I'm sure we all have them, that just throw us for a loop and say, you know, as an unbeliever, that made me an atheist. As a believer, it just really shook, you know, as a young believer, not thinking God can do everything, and he can, but, you know, he didn't promise us that he's going to heal everybody, and that's something that threw me for a long time, quite frankly, then. And we grow, and we have ups, and we have downs, and we have more ups, and sometimes we grow like crazy, and everything's clicking and we're firing on all the cylinders, and then something really bad happens in our life, and maybe, like me, you lose a job. You know, the university you've been working at for 21 years says we're closing. And you try to find a job during a recession, and that was a tough time for me. I got a 1-year job, but then the second year I didn't have a job, and it was always these weird excuses like, a secular university doesn't want a guy who's a Christian. Christian universities, I actually was turned down for a job because I had the wrong eschatological view on the end times. So they weren't going to hire me because I had the wrong, you know, to teach ecology and botany, right? I'm going to make it a major point to say, well, here's my eschatology. Well, but seriously, the department chair said, where have you been? We've been waiting for you. And then a couple of days later, he said, whoop, you know, statement of faith, you know, do you believe in this? And I write, you know, well, here's a point where genuine Christians can disagree over the end time events. And the chair calls me back and says, oops, guess what? We can't hire you now. You know, and school was starting, and I'm married, and I'm a sole income, and I got, you know, 5 kids at home, maybe. And I'm sitting in the basement, and I start to have these really, really bad thoughts about the people who closed down my school. You just don't know what you're capable of sometimes. My thoughts were murderous. And I don't say that figuratively. I mean that literally. And I'd lie in the basement planning the most vile way that I could kill somebody. Now, is that a Christian? Well, pretty broken one. I don't think I lost my salvation over that. But then, you know, Here's what happens. After a week or two, and school has started, so there was no chance of me getting a job. And my goodness, sorry, that's when in my life the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you know, you really ought to pray for your enemies. And I go like, but I don't want to. I want them dead. And he says, you really ought to pray for your enemies. And I had heard that verse so many times, and you know, I memorized verses early on in my life, and then it just comes up. And I, how do you argue with God? Yeah, you're right. I mean, what do I? So you start to pray for people. And I started praying for people that I had, that had had that kind of influence on me to ruin my life from my point of view. And I started praying for them, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to thank God for them and to bless them. But I was able to, and I did that. And my God changed my attitude. It wasn't me, trust me. It wasn't me. It was when I'm at my deepest falling that God changed my attitude and said, pray for them. Okay? So then you start to grow again, and then something hits. Maybe you have a habit of like disagreeing on little things with your spouse. And this thing's been going on for a long time. I'm sure none of you, this is, it never happens, but it did in my life, you know? And then here comes one, the Holy Spirit. I don't hear his voice, but I hear his word because it's tucked in there because I read it when I was younger. And his voice says something like this for me. The beginning of strife is like the letting out of water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. But I don't want to. I'm right, darn it. And I know I'm right. And God says, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. I mean, this stuff happened. This is true. This is me being honest and sharing. It's like, okay, I'm tired of fighting. I'm not going to fight anymore. You know, and doesn't happen instantaneously, but over time, you know, the next time it's like, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Okay. You know, maybe it's your parents or your kids or your spouse or somebody at work. You know, or somebody at church, and you say, nope, not going there. You know, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. So that's how I find that I've grown over setback, three steps forward, two steps backwards, up and down and up and down over the course of my life. So how are Christians sanctified? Here's the what I call an active model. I got this from Denny 3 weeks ago. Maybe we were talking then. AKA, this is the way it ought to be done model, or the Denny Laub model, because he gave it to me. So thank you very much. And you can correct me if I've got something wrong, but you read scripture. You think on scripture. You are convicted of your sin as you're reading scripture there. You repent. And your life changes. You know? That fair? Okay, there we go. So that's one way to do it. Here's Acts 20:32. And now I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. Read the word, let it touch your life. Let God change your whole, your life as God's Holy Spirit illumines these verses then. There's a second model. This is what I call the passive model, or the slow learner model, or the John Shutt model. You do evil, and then sometime years later, you're lying in bed, you can't get to sleep, you're thinking about your life, and you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And you realize that you're the chief of sinners. This has been my life the last year and a half, I would say. Then you repent. You know, I did what when I was a kid? Oh, so stupid. And then your life changes. But sometimes it's, you know, there's something about self-reflection as we get older. I think if you'd talk to other folks and they'd say, yeah, things that I didn't think were, I can't believe that I did that when I was younger. And over the course of the lifetime, God works in us. So last January, I put out a request and say, hey, I'm going to talk about sanctification. What do you think people would like to hear? And Stephanie Birch wrote back and said, how about these questions? And I thought, yeah, that's really good. So thank you very much. So who did I ask? I asked people above a certain age in the congregation these questions, and they sent replies back to me. And I've been thinking about this, and you might even want to forget what I've said, if you want to, if you disagree. But I would encourage you to print out these slides when you struggle with growing and listen to what some of the elder people in our congregation say, because these are not the people who you're ever going to hear up front. You know, a couple, one or two of them they are, but a lot of these are quiet and humble Christians who just are living their life in obedience to Christ and aren't flashy and don't want to show it in front of everybody else. And I was just stunned by the answers. I was just so good. So how long have you been a Christian? The average, well, 40 to 64. Most everybody was actually 50 to 64 years. One person said 40. And I'm not included in here because I've already given you my view on sanctification then. So, next question. During the series of sanctification, the following areas were discussed, and here they are. Which one or more of these has helped you to pursue sanctification? So, here are the answers. I got all of them, all except church institution, prayer and family, all the things covered thus far in the sanctification series, I think have helped motivate me to seek sanctification, but the most effective for me has been prayer and trials. Things going wrong, God convicting us of His Spirit and growing. I would say all those listed have helped me pursue sanctification. I think all the above have played a part, but scripture, marriage and family, something about living out Christianity in a family. You know, that we don't always do it as we should, and we learn from that. And trials would stand out as the most. Church institution, through opening God's Word to understand God and His will better. So now, how about you? What have you done? Scripture, prayer, church were the big things that they've done. Pray, read the Scripture. Acknowledge dependence on the Holy Spirit by first coming to God daily in prayer has helped me recognize my limitations and the trust in His provision for conforming me to the image of Christ. To pursue sanctification, I've spent more time in the Word, in prayer, and being aware and listening to the Holy Spirit direct me and lovingly admonish me. Read and study the Bible. Pray for God to change me into the likeness of Christ. Study, read Scripture and meditation, and consciously commit to changing with the Holy Spirit's prompting. Read, pray, be mindful of the goal to be more like Christ. My desire to please God has helped me in sanctification. Watching my spouse live out sanctification has helped me. Conviction from the Holy Spirit, encouragement from other people around me, previous sermons on sanctification for a variety of Christian teachers, Alistair Begg, Chip Ingram, Mike Fabiez, etc., and this sanctification series have helped and are helping me pursue holiness. The main thing that helps me pursue sanctification for me is to remain close to God and His Word and to take time in prayer to God and commune with Him. Spending time with God is where I'm shown. Spending time with God is where I'm shown where and how He wants to use me to glorify Him while I'm here on the earth, with the obvious goal of becoming more holy as God is holy. This is three parts from one person, but I didn't want to split it up. Reading and studying the Bible, participating in Bible studies, being a part of a small group of Christian fellowship, praying for God's help to face problems and trials. During difficult times, I do find myself seeking more after God's will and praying more, focusing too much on this world and rather than thinking about my real home and what that means. Not putting prayer and Bible reading first, thinking I'll do it later, right after I finish this, and then moving on to another task. Even today, reading the Bible seems so much easier for me than praying. I seem to get easily distracted, and I think a lack of praying is a hindrance to sanctification. So what's helped you? The main thing helped me pursue sanctification is to remain close to God and His Word and to take time in prayer with God and commune with Him. Spending time with God is where I'm shown where and how He wants to use me to glorify Him, and while I'm here on this earth with the obvious goal of becoming more holy as Christ is holy. Did I repeat that one? I think I might have repeated that one. Sorry. So what stopped you? What obstacles have there been to help you from pursuing sanctification? Laziness, not in the mood. My selfishness and pride. My sinful nature, I can't shake it. Things that have hindered my pursuit of sanctification include laziness, lack of discipline, and perhaps a lack of trust, a willingness to give up the good things for the best. Me, losing sight of the goal. I would say the opposite of what has helped them has hindered them. When I get lazy in reading the Word and I rush through prayer, I know I'm still saved, but not moving forward to sanctification as much as I should. Ted Rapone recently said from the pulpit that the older he gets, the more he realizes how sinful he really is. I find this to be true of myself. My own pursuit of sanctification has primarily been an effort to keep the law. At this also, I have failed miserably. Is there something that would have helped you avoid these pitfalls? A greater vigor in crucifying the flesh. I think one pitfall I can avoid in preventing the pursuit of sanctification is spending too much time on the internet, reading about what's going on in the world. There's obviously a need to stay informed, but it's all too often it's easy to get preoccupied with those things and become anxious instead of focusing on where God wants for my attention to be in my immediate sphere of influence. Perhaps if I heard the term sanctification earlier in my life and understood what it meant, to have an accountability partner might have helped. When I get up early for Bible study, about the time I open my Bible, I'd hear the pitter-patter of little feet. Instead of becoming angry, I should have reacted with, "Mommy was just getting ready to listen to God. Come join me." We could have cuddled, and I could have read aloud the Bible, and we could have prayed together. Man, there's so much gold in this. Things said would have avoided me pitfalls as stated above, not getting lazy in it, reading the Word, spending time in prayer, also having an accountability partner might help avoid pitfalls. You can't be conformed to the image of Christ if you don't know what God is like and what He wants you to be like. Dig deeper into His self-revelation and apply it to yourself. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the congregation that you haven't said already? I think it's a lifelong process. It's not really something you do, but a process you participate in, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you to help you become more Christ-like and holy. Falling down's not the problem. It's not becoming weary of getting back up. It's not becoming weary of getting back up. God understands our weakness, but requires us to not give up. Just don't give up. Oops, sorry. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. Over this time, I've found many godly men and women in the church community who provided excellent examples of the Christian life. Marriage and family, of course, have provided the opportunity for me to be such an example for my wife and children and to put their needs above my own. At this, I've often failed miserably. Ted Rapone recently said from the pulpit, the older he gets, oh, I already quoted that, the more he realizes how sinful he really is. I find this to be true of myself. My own pursuit of sanctification has primarily been an effort to keep the law. This I failed miserably. Sorry, that's a duplicate slide. I've come to see that God has given us the law to show us how sinful we are, and he's given us gospel to show us his great love. Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. When I consider that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, became a man to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, I see the only valid response to this great love to be humility, praise, and gratitude. I believe that the Holy Spirit uses the knowledge of God's great love for us in Christ to enable us to repent and to turn from sin and to love God and our neighbor. Aslan, said Lucy, you're bigger. That's because you're older, little one, answered he. Not because you are, I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the that information. It was stirred up a lot of things, a lot of different responses and emotions. It was sobering. It was helpful. It was challenging. Reading the different responses that people submitted, there's a lot there to reflect on, and it was just I don't know how to articulate it, but it's sort of like, we're not alone in this, are we? Other people struggle. Reading what other people read says, wow, I could have written that. I could have written that one. I could have written that one. And I just had this sense that all of us are really struggling together to grow. And yet we all desire to grow. And hopefully you found this helpful. And hopefully you're finding the series helpful. And we will continue to exhort each other on toward love and good deeds as we are called to do. So let's stand, and I'm going to close with this exhortation from Paul to the Thessalonians, where he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Upon those words, you are dismissed. Go in Christ's name, enjoy each other, and serve each other in love.